Good morning, friends. Welcome to morning worship, and a very happy new year to you all. We open our worship by singing to God's praise, hymn number 30, I Waited for the Lord My God. 30. The Lord lives. Blessed is our rock. High above all is the God who saves us. Let us pray. O God, our Heavenly Father, whose love is working through all creation, Son of God, in whose likeness we shall be made new, Holy Spirit, touching our life with hope, receive our worship. Reclaim us for your service. Set us free so that we can honor you today. Eternal God, you are the source of light, the giver of grace. We have sinned against you and we are ashamed and we repent of our sins. For the sake of Jesus Christ, your Son who died for us, forgive us all that is past and lead us out from darkness to walk as children of light. Gracious God, we believe in you, our God and Father. Strengthen us and strengthen all your people by the witness of your Spirit, which is always present with us, so that we may honor the Lord Jesus Christ in our in our words and actions to the glory of your holy name. Fill our hearts with joy as we receive the promise of your salvation, and send us out as peacemakers and witnesses to your promises through Jesus Christ, our Lord, who taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Hymn number 112, God Whose Almighty Word. 112. Thank you. We read God's word in the Old Testament, the book of the prophet Isaiah, chapter 42, at verse 1. Isaiah chapter 42, at verse 1. Here is my servant whom I uphold, my chosen one in whom I delight. I will put my spirit upon him, and he will bring justice to the nations. He will not shout or cry out or raise his voice in the streets. A bruised reed he will not break, and a smoldering wick he will not snuff out. In faithfulness he will bring forth justice. He will not falter or be discouraged till he establishes justice on earth. In his law the islands will put their hope. This is what God the Lord says, he who created the heavens and stretched them out, who spread out the earth and all that comes out of it, who gives breath to its people and life to those who walk on it. I, the Lord, have called you in righteousness. I will take hold of your hand. I will keep you and will make you to be a covenant for the people and a light for the Gentiles, to open eyes that are blind, to free captives from prison, and to release from the dungeon those who sit in darkness. I am the Lord, that is my name. I will not give my glory to another or my praise to idols. See, the former things have taken place, and new things I declare. Before they spring into being, I announce them to you. And in the New Testament, Luke's Gospel, chapter 3, at verse 1. Luke chapter 3, at verse 1. In the 15th year of the reign of Tiberius Caesar, when Pontius Pilate was governor of Judea, Herod, tetrarch of Galilee, his brother Philip, tetrarch of Ituria and Trachonitis, and Licinius, tetrarch of Abilene, during the high priesthood of Annas and Caiaphas, the word of God came to John, son of Zechariah, in the desert. He went into all the country around the Jordan, preaching a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. As is written in the book of the words of Isaiah the prophet, a voice of one calling in the desert, prepare the way for the Lord, make straight paths for him. Every valley shall be filled in, every mountain and hill made low. The crooked roads shall become straight, the rough ways smooth, and all mankind will see God's salvation. John said to the crowds coming out to be baptized by him, you brood of vipers, who warned you to flee from the coming wrath? Produce fruit in keeping with repentance. And do not begin to say to yourselves, we have Abraham as our father. For I tell you that out of these stones, God can raise up children for Abraham. The axe is already at the root of the trees, and every tree that does not produce good fruit will be cut down and thrown into the fire. What should we do then? The crowd asked. John answered, the man with two tunics should share with him who has none, and the one who has food should do the same. Tax collectors also came to be baptized. Teacher, they asked, what should we do? Don't collect any more than you are required to, he told them. Then some soldiers asked him, and what should we do? He replied, don't extort money and don't accuse people falsely. Be content with your pay. The people were waiting expectantly and were all wondering in their hearts if John might possibly be the Christ. John answered them all, I baptize you with water, but one more powerful than I will come, the thongs of whose sandals I am not worthy to untie. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire. His winnowing fork is in his hand to clear his threshing floor and to gather the wheat into his barn, but he will burn up the chaff with unquenchable fire. And with many other words, John exhorted the people and preached the good news to them. But when John rebuked Herod the tetrarch because of Herodias, his brother's wife, and all the other evil things he had done, Herod added this to them all. He locked John up in prison. When all the people were being baptized, Jesus was baptized too. And as he was praying, heaven was opened, And the Holy Spirit descended on him in bodily form like a dove. And a voice came from heaven, "You are my Son, whom I love. With you I am well pleased." And the Lord bless to us the reading of his holy word, and to his name be the glory and the praise. Hymn number 352, "O for a Thousand Tongues," 352. Luke's Gospel, chapter 3, at verse 22, "You are my Son, whom I love. When shall we three meet again?" Those wicked witches in the opening words of Shakespeare's Macbeth. When shall we three meet again? Well, we've managed to get more than three of us together to this service today, and I suppose we ought to be thankful for that. But when shall we meet again, we may well ask. When shall we meet again for worship so early in the year? It only happens once in a while that we hold our first service of the year while the year is still only a few hours old, while the month of January still in its first day. The month of January, called after the Roman god Janus. Janus is depicted as having two heads, one looking back towards the old year, the other looking forward into the new year. The door of the year. I suppose we can say the first day of the year is something like a door. It opens the way to a new year of our life. We stand in the doorway for a moment and look back at the year which has gone and sum it up in our mind. But what is the first day of the year? What significance does it really have? Unless we were born at the beginning or end of the year, it doesn't mark a new year of our life, does it? The day which marks a new year of our life is our birthday. Some of us are trying to forget when our birthday is and not to let on to anybody about it. The truth is that the doors in our life can come at any time. New doors which open, old chapters which close. Over the Christmas period, we hear the Christmas story in its various forms. Luke, the gospel writer, spends his early chapters telling about the preparations for the birth of Jesus, the story of his birth, the visit of the shepherds to the stable, and then the incident in the temple when Jesus was 12 years old. All of that is in the early chapters. And then he comes to the baptism of Jesus. And that is a door. That's a significant point in the earthly life of Jesus, opening onto a new phase. When John the Baptist came baptizing, why was it that Jesus went to him to be baptized? That has always puzzled people who've thought seriously about it. Maybe it puzzles us. What was John doing this for? He was doing it as a sign of repentance in those who were coming to him for baptism. They were confessing their sins, they were receiving the forgiveness of God, and they were entering into a new life. This baptism was a sign of this new life. But Jesus, Jesus was without sin. He didn't have sins to repent of. So why did he come and submit to the baptism of John? That is a question which puzzles some people. It doesn't puzzle some other people because they never think about it, or maybe even they don't know about it. But people who have thought about this have always been a bit puzzled by it. Some people have suggested answers, of course, reasons why Jesus did this, why he came to John and allowed himself to be baptized like everyone else. One of the Gospels tells how John himself was puzzled and didn't want to go ahead with it, but Jesus brushed aside his protests and insisted that he baptize him. So what do we make of the baptism of Jesus? Isn't this another of those events which act as a door? A new door opening onto another phase of his earthly life. How old was Jesus when he came to John to be baptized? Well, it would appear that he was about 30. At the incident in the temple mentioned in one of the Gospels, he was 12. So in between those events, 18 manhood years have gone by. What has Jesus been doing all those years? Working as the carpenter in Nazareth. We don't know when his father Joseph died, but it does seem that he died while Jesus was still young. So Jesus stayed on to help with the family business until this point now, when he was about 30. Maybe we don't think a lot about that feature of Jesus, but it is an inspiration all the same. Jesus, the devoted son, Jesus, the breadwinner in his father's place, Jesus, the member of the family, quietly and uncomplainingly accepting family responsibilities. When we think about that, and when we realize that many a young man or woman has done something the same, giving themselves unstintingly to meeting the needs of the family, we can see that it confers on such young men and women the blessing of Jesus. He too has done as they have done. How do young people feel when they accept responsibility to stay and see to things in the family instead of going off to further their career? I suppose different people react differently. But there was Jesus, whose 18 years or so at the carpenter's bench were a preparation for what was to come later. Anything we have to do, even if it prevents us from doing something we've set our heart on, it can be the preparation for greater things to come if we go into it with the right attitude. At any stage in life, not only when we're young with a life and a career to look forward to, at any time we may have to accept a way of life which is different from what we might have planned or wanted for ourselves. If we go into it with the right attitude, it has the potential to lead on to greater things. So Jesus stayed at home for quite a while before the time came when he could go. And that is a blessing and an inspiration to many a person who has to do something of that kind. But then the time came and Jesus did go. He did leave home and a new door opened for him, and he entered another new phase of his earthly life. There have been new doors for us, I'm sure, and we can see them as we look back over our past life. Maybe it has not involved leaving the place where we grew up. Some people manage to live their whole life in one place. But even so, there are doors, aren't there? New doors we have to pass through and leave the old and enter upon the new. When that happens in our life, it's good to realize that it happened also to the Lord Jesus Christ. The carpenter's bench in Nazareth, the preparation time, until the moment when he knew that it was time to leave all that behind and enter upon his public ministry. The doors which open on new phases of life are connected with things which are happening in other people's lives. There was a strong connection between the arrival of the new phase in the earthly life of Jesus and the activity of John the Baptist. John is known as the forerunner of Jesus. That's because he went ahead to prepare the way for him, to prepare the people for the coming of the one who was greater than he. When John was carrying out his campaign, there was a kind of religious revival going on. Some of us would like to see a religious revival going on in our own day, people getting back to church and to the ways of the church, back to belief in God and the worship of God. Who knows, there may yet be hope for that. Anyway, there was this revival in progress so that people were seeking God again instead of just letting their life drift. Jesus moved in on the tide of this revival movement because he had been given the signal that the time had come. It was God's moment for him. People may not recognize God's moment for what it is. They may not give that name to it or think of God at all. But God's moment does come for all that. The time whose arrival cannot be stopped or denied the moment of decision. 'Tis now the very witching time of night, said Macbeth. The call, said J.M. Barrie, the call had come to Mary Rose. Nay man, said Burns, nay man can tether time nor tide. The hour approaches, Tam Wan Ryde. Macbeth and Mary Rose and Tam O'Shanter are all just fictional characters in literature, but they serve to focus our attention on the truth that there can come for us all, in one way or another, there can come the crucial time. The crucial time came for Jesus to leave Nazareth and all that was connected with it and begin the new phase of life. We don't always realize what's happening at the time, but the door opens and we must leave the old and enter upon the new. The Lord Jesus Christ offers to you and me an example. He himself in his earthly life went into each new phase when the time came. He went into it at God's bidding. It's not everyone who believes that there is a God controlling and directing those things. Well, people can believe or not believe as they choose, but the fact remains that it is the safest way to go forward. Into a new year, into any new phase of our life, we go into it the same way as Jesus did and as Jesus does. And that's why, in the words of the paraphrase of Paul's second letter to Timothy, we don't need to be ashamed to own our Lord or to defend his cause. We know that safe with him remains, protected by his power, what we've committed to his trust till the decisive hour. Whatever decisive hour there may be for us during this new year, or indeed during the rest of our earthly life, we face it with all the confidence and faith that we need, if we face it as Jesus does, seeking God's guidance and entrusting to him everything, everything that matters. What was the way forward for Jesus? From his baptism onwards, it was inevitably the way of the cross. We needn't think that the way forward for us in his service will be comfortable or easy in the way the world understands those terms. But in a way, we're like the old lifelong sailor, home on land for the time being, but unable to stay away from the shore. And one day suddenly becoming aware of a new freshness in the wind, bringing with it the irresistible call to put to sea again. Not only for us as individuals, but also for the church, here and in all the world. The voyage ahead doesn't promise to be comfortable and easy. All around us there may be trouble. Ahead of us there may be dangers. Within us there may be fears and uncertainties. But we know beyond all doubt that going ahead with the Lord Jesus Christ is the only way which is ultimately safe. He is the pilot, and he will not let us drift. Let us go on with him. All blessings to you all in 2017. And now to God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be all honor and glory, now and evermore. Amen. We worship God in presenting our offering. number 463, Fairest Lord Jesus. 463. Let us pray. Almighty God, we thank you for your word and its meaning and message. Help us to produce the fruit in our life which you expect of us. Receive our offerings and bless them for your service. We thank you, Lord, for every encouragement you have given us in the service of our Lord Jesus Christ, for our homes, our families, and our friendships, for our work and all the opportunities to be kind to other people, for quickness of mind and body. Most of all, we thank you for your Son, Jesus Christ, whose obedience to your will calls for our obedience, whose suffering at the hands of sinners has brought forgiveness to us all, who ever lives and is our continuing life. Lord, we pray for your help in the year which is beginning. We pray for seasonable weather for farmers and gardeners, for a smooth flow of materials to industry, for good labor relations, for the young and the old as they rely on the earnings and the caring concern of others. We pray for all who are ill, for those who are bereaved, for the underprivileged millions throughout the world, whose poverty of living we can scarcely imagine or understand. We pray you to inspire us all with the love for all mankind which we see in Jesus. Lord, keep us conscious of the unity of the church in heaven and on earth. Keep us faithful to you all the days of our service here on earth, and bring us to the life eternal through Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with the Father and the Holy Spirit, one God, world without end. Amen. Our closing praise is hymn number 500, Lord of Creation, 500. Thank you. Now may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all this day and forevermore.